910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Closing arguments set for today in Donald Trump's hush money trial. The testimony of Michael Cohen will be subject to intense attack by his attorneys. Prosecutors will recap corroborating evidence that Trump phonied up business records to cover up payments to Stormy Daniels. Adam Schlahet, Fordham University Law.
They don't need to prove the underlying crime. They just need to prove that when they were falsifying the business records, they were doing that in order to, with the intent to cover up that other crime.
Jury deliberations to start on Wednesday. At least 22 people killed in severe weather, including tornadoes in the central and southern U.S., power outages in excess of 260,000 across multiple states. North Korean state media says officials blame a newly developed engine for Tuesday's explosion after launch of a rocket carrying Pyongyang's second spy satellite. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service is in Rock County to survey severe weather damage from Sunday. The damage is to large trees, which could have been done by tornadoes. The Weather Service investigation will focus on Janesville and Milton. Tornadoes may have also touched down in Whitewater and Fort Atkinson Sunday. A lot of people are on their way home from the busiest Memorial Day weekend for travel since the pandemic. 3.5 million Americans flew somewhere.
Last year, the cancellation rate was at a 10-year low. This year, so far, it's actually even better than last year, but we want to make sure that it stays that way. We're pressing the airlines to do their part.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. This is Civic Media News.
The return of Craig Counsell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell holds the Brewers club record for most career wins as a manager, but when he returned to AmFam Field wearing a Cubs uniform, he got nothing but boos. Counsell asked if he watched the brief tribute video in his honor on the scoreboard.
I didn't see much of the video. I don't know. It wasn't on very long. Yeah, I mean, it's like I said before the game. I mean, I think, you know, the fans are here to enjoy a day, enjoy a baseball game. They get to do what they want, and hopefully they had a good time.
The Cubs losing 5-1 to the Brewers thanks to a clutch 3-run homer by Willy Adames in the 8th and Robert Gasser pitching another beauty, 6 scoreless innings. The two teams play again tonight. The Brewers now with a 4.5 game lead over Chicago in the NL Central.
You know, guys, it's the third of the season, so we got a long way to go. This is a nice win, and, you know, we got a long way to go.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We have a chance of scattered showers or thundershowers through about mid-afternoon, and then it'll become partly cloudy with a high of 64. Today, the wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 40. Tomorrow, sunshine 67. On Thursday, sunny and even warmer with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Well, we're starting off a Tuesday morning with more rain on the way. Welcome in, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report, and I'll tell you, that rain, not exactly what we're looking forward to after a pretty wet Memorial weekend for a lot of folks. My backyard on the west side of Madison, 2.7 inches of rain total through the weekend, and I'm seeing similar numbers. Linda from Reeseville using our talk text line, 1.7 inches of rain. Greg from West Bend, 2.8 inches of rain total. Dan up by Fox Lake, 2.4 inches of rain. Again, you're welcome to chime in anytime that you get a chance to take a glance at that rain gauge, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. I'm afraid there's more rain on the way for basically all of us. The La Crosse area, about a 60% chance of rain. They'll top out right around 63 today. Madison area, 78% chance of rain, topping out around 67. Same thing along the lakeshore. Rain in the forecast, 65 the expected high today. Now, some of us have a chance of drying out a little bit on Wednesday, definitely Thursday. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist has more weather details on the way. John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, also catching up with us. He texted me last night that markets were very busy in overnight trade outside of the holiday weekend. We'll find out why. And Charity Seebecker catching up with graduates. We'll recognize some of the graduates for the Master Cheesemaking Class 2024 and recognizing the 2023-2024 Hall of Fame Laureates with Wisconsin 4-H. First, a story on diversifying your corn and soybean operation. I bet you never thought tulips in Wisconsin. Bob Bosold up next with that story.
Any lender can tell you about banking, but few know the business ins and outs of farming and ranching. That's where Compere Financial stands apart. We are here with unparalleled ag industry expertise, a forward-thinking mindset to identify your challenges and opportunities, and the ability to support smart decision-making for your operation. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
If you got to take one for the team, at least look to Bobcat Plus to help you out. Bobcat Plus has been keeping you from the aches and the pains of the tough jobs for years. Bobcat Plus carries new and used Bobcat equipment, and all locations have a full service department, parts, and rentals. They're in Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere, featuring a full lineup of compact wheel and truck loaders, mini excavators, compact tractors, zero-turn mowers, hundreds of hard-working attachments, and so much more. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Most agronomists have plenty of work to do in the spring, and that includes A&J Agronomy in Fall Creek. I'm Bob Bosol at the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, just up the road from Fall Creek. Jody Wilhelm, along with husband Aaron, not only operate their agronomy business, but also do some farming. Last year, they had the idea to bring another venture to their business, so now Jody says they're growing tulips. About 16,000.
So A&J Agronomy does crops, and Rural Route Bulbs does tulip bulbs. So I have about 16,000 tulips planted in part of our field. It was an experiment to see if tulip bulbs would grow well here, and we could grow them in the field, because we are trying to start a tulip bulb or cut flower business.
Now, you got to walk before you can run, and I think at this point you're still walking as far as getting that business up and running. How are you doing? Because as we're standing here looking at some beautiful tulips of every color and variegated, I mean, it's beautiful, but where are you at?
So I have all the big things done that I kind of needed to get out of the way to get the bulb business going, or the tulip business going, and this fall we're planning on planting a display garden on County K in Fall Creek, so people can come next spring and look at the bulbs. And we're going to have some rows of cut flowers where people can come in and make their own bouquets, cut their own flowers, or just pick up a bouquet that they would like.
this fall already?
We'll plant them this fall, and they'll be growing in the spring of 25.
Now, you're one that likes adventure, obviously. How did you come to decide that this is what you wanted to do besides all your other agronomy work? Because you're a partner in A&J Agronomy.
So we were in Washington State for my nephew's baptism, and we were looking to diversify into something that we could sell more locally than corn, soybeans, and rye. And as we were driving around, there were a lot of tulips, and my husband said, we should do this. So we bought 4,000 tulip bulbs in 2020, and I planted 4,000 of them, and they came up, and they grew, and they were really nice. And so I think 2 years later, we planted another 12,000 of them just to see how different varieties would do in our area. And we have a pretty good understanding of what does well and maybe some tulips that are very pretty the first year but aren't going to have the longevity that some of the other tulip bulbs are, and daffodils as well.
Now, you say we. Is this a joint venture with you and Aaron, or is this turned into a Jody venture?
It's always a joint venture. Sometimes I have the wild ideas, but Aaron takes care of the equipment part and makes it all work.
Well, how has it been? We had various weather. We've had dry weather. We've had some moisture. We've got wind. How have the tulips adapted to this climate?
So where I source my bulbs from, they have really good quality bulbs, and a lot of the tulips say that they can withstand the windiest, rainiest weather, and they did pretty well. I didn't have a lot blow over. The hail that we got a few days ago snapped some of the flowers off, and it bruised some of the petals, but overall, for the wind we've had, they've held up really well.
This is right along Highway 12 going in and out of Fall Creek. I would imagine a lot of people must pull in here to your business to look at your tulips, even though it's a private garden, but I'm sure there's still a lot of interest.
There is. That's why I think this next year it's time to get going, because people are wanting some bulbs or to cut some flowers, and they're beautiful, and I can't put them all in vases in my own house, so I might as well share the wealth and the spring flower happiness that we have when things turn green in the spring.
What does it take to grow these tulips? What have you learned? You've got a master's in agronomy, so you know the industry. What have you learned about growing tulips here in this part of the country?
So I think the biggest thing that I've learned, and I learned this last year, was if you keep your weed populations down around your tulips, you have a lot better stand the next year. If you're droughty in the spring, you have really short tulips, and as tulips grow, you'll see a flower bud first, and that comes up, and the longer that they're bloomed, the taller that the stems get. So some of them are really nice for cut flowers, some of them are short and they need to stay in the ground, but they're beautiful. So it's just a big experiment on what comes back, kind of depending on depth and position and weather and rain and all the things that farmers have to worry about to make their normal crops grow.
You say what stays in the ground. Do you dig some of these, or what is the best way? I've heard you dig your tulip bulbs and put them away for the winter and then put them back, or just leave them in.
So tulip bulbs need to be planted in the fall, and then they have to have 14 weeks of cold, dark weather to get your flower bud to form and then come up. So you can dig them once the foliage is gone, so at the end of June or July, and you can bring them in. Otherwise, you can just leave them in the ground. However, the longer they're in the ground, the more at risk to disease they are. And if you cut your flower stems off really low, you get rain, the soil bounces up on your flower stems, and you can get diseases in your flowers from the holes in your stems.
Now, we grow corn and soybeans, we side dress nitrogen and do all kinds of things with our field crops. What about for tulips? Do we need to fertilize like acid soil or like an alkaline soil? What are they like?
So when we started planting our tulips, we planted them in a part of our farm that had been field before and was a decent pH. It had good soil fertility, so we're talking like crop soil fertility, not horticultural soil fertility. And we haven't put any fertilizer on yet because we figure we're getting enough nitrogen from from the organic matter turnover in the summer. But they do like some nitrogen, not too much, or they can get really tall and leggy. So I think that bone meal is recommended for tulips.
Now, as you look at it, and I know the commercial growers have been fortunate to go to Holland and see them, and they'll cut the heads off because they are growing bulbs. They're not growing flowers. Is that pretty much what you will eventually get to when you start selling bulbs? That while we have beautiful multicolored tulips in the field right now, are you looking at eventually doing that same thing when you get into full bulb production?
That is a goal of the business. We'll see how the bulbs come out when they're dug and how many more bulbs they grow.
A learning process right now.
Yes. Yes, a learning process indeed.
Jody Wilhelm of A&J Agronomy in Fall Creek, who says her rural route bulbs should be ready to order in the spring of 2025 with shipments in the fall. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 11 of 18 Arizona 2020 fake electors and Trump election lawyers were arraigned May 21st on 9 felony counts after being indicted by a grand jury April 26th. Former President Donald Trump was named as an unindicted co-conspirator. The 11 arraigned May 21st were a Republican state senator, 8 GOP activists, including a Republican national committeeman, and 2 of Donald Trump's allies, including Rudy Giuliani and Republican National Committee election lawyer Christina Bob. Another alleged central figure, John Eastman, was arraigned earlier. Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and 4 others will be arraigned in June. All 18 defendants are charged with fraudulent schemes to deceive and practice of that deception, forgery, changing the vote of an elector by corrupt means or inducement, tampering with a public record, and presenting false instrument for filing. All have pleaded not guilty. Of the 7 states where GOP activists created a substitute slate of presidential electors, 4 state attorneys general have brought charges: Michigan, Nevada, Georgia, and Arizona. 3 others, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and New Mexico, have either chosen not to bring criminal charges or cited a lack of grounds for indictment. Michigan held preliminary hearings in April, where 15 defendants faced trial. Pretrial motions are being heard in Nevada for 6 other defendants. See the unredacted indictment at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
In 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Some mighty big numbers from a lot of you already reported in. One of the things that was impacted by the weather over the Memorial weekend, the Indy 500, the greatest spectacle in racing. 108th running, though, was supposed to take place, but literally got delayed from 9:30 in the morning until about 4:30 in the afternoon. Donald Davidson is the historian emeritus for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You never knew when it was going to start, but when it ended, it was a jug of milk that met the victor at the finish line. How did that get started? The tradition, according to Donaldson, started nearly 90 years ago.
Louis Meyer, who ended up winning the race 3 times, regularly drank buttermilk. Not milk, but buttermilk. That's what he drank on a hot day. He used to say that that the tradition started in 1933. Well, he may have drunk milk in 33, but we have no photographic record of that. And we do know Louis Meyer wins again in 1936, and then he's given this bottle of buttermilk. And it was photographed. And so apparently some executive in the milk industry saw that and thought, you know, what great publicity.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's still around. That's gentleman is the historian emeritus with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Donald Davidson. In 1956, the milk brought along with it a cash prize of $300. And today, the American Dairy Association of Indiana is providing $10,000 for the Indianapolis 500 and $500 more for the winning crew chief. And keep that milk guzzle at the end, just like it's always been there. Well, guzzle is probably a great way to explain the weather that we've got coming up out there. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us live this morning. Man, oh, man, I checked on my rainfall reporters early. You know, if you were under 2 inches of rain for the Memorial weekend, that seemed like the exception, not the rule. What do you got?
Yeah, that's about it. Everybody was adding up. I had 9/10 since Sunday, and what we had Friday was over an inch. So, yeah, I'm at about that 2 inch. Everybody else guaranteeing and going along with that. I'm just looking at yesterday. It just wasn't all that much. But then here and there, 2,400ths of an inch at Madison, 1,500ths of an inch at La Crosse, 0.4 at Appleton, 0.2 at Sheboygan. You know, it was just all over. I know the concern. We want to get going on first crop hay. We need to finish up on corn and beans. When is it going to dry out? Not quite today. There's still a cool front trying to drop in out of the northwest, and the radar indicating some scattered and very light rain up into northwest and north central Wisconsin and up into the UP. There's still some rain over in Minnesota as well, eastern South Dakota. My expectation is today there will be some rain already this morning in the north. It develops here a bit later in the south. Showers, maybe an isolated thunderstorm, not that big of a deal, but rain amounts upwards of a quarter inch. There may be some half inch amounts in central Wisconsin. That should be about the extent of our rain. Then we dry it out as we head through tonight. Yes, drying it out. It's more likely Wednesday and Thursday we'll have sunshine, not much of a breeze, but some sunshine, and temperatures trying to moderate, trying to push a bit closer to normal. We should be in the lower 70s for normals now. At best, we may see a 70 on Thursday. But how about that? By Friday, a small rain chance trying to edge in a bit later in the day. And that could be something that sticks around into the weekend. Every now and again, a little afternoon rain. I'll have forecast details right after this.
What do you look for in a lending partner? Someone who supports smart decision-making for your farm or ranch, agribusiness, investment, or community. Someone who values relationships. Someone who, when you face adversity, looks you in the eyes and says, "We are here." Find the lending partner you're looking for at Compere Financial. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
June Dairy Month is truly a season for celebration. The Winnebago County Farm Bureau hosts their annual grilled cheese event on June 1st in Omro. You're invited to the Egan Family Dairy on 9th Street from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This ooey-gooey cheesy celebration is free to attend. Grilled cheese meals will be available for $5 and include a grilled ham and cheese sandwich, milk, fresh cheese curds, custard, and potato chips. Make plans for the grilled cheese event in Omro, Saturday, June 1st. For more details, find their event on the Winnebago County Dairy Promotion Facebook page.
All right, Stu, let's have that forecast quick.
All right, some cloud showers, maybe a thunderstorm first in the north, spreading south. Some breaks in the clouds in the south as well. And we ought to be in the mid-60s. The rain ending tonight, upper 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and mid and upper 60s. Sunny Thursday, Pam, 70s, some low 70s. Friday afternoon, a little sprinkly shower could pop up.
Well, hopefully nothing severe, though, huh?
I don't think we'll have to worry about that.
No. All right. Well, we do have to worry about the rain. Thank you for your reports this morning, folks. 1.9 Stan out of Green Bay, 1.5 Dennis in Brownsville, David in Burlington, 1.25 inches of rain north of Burnett, 1.7 in Alto, 1.5. Wow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the MaxSync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WIS Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxSyncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Closing arguments set for today in Donald Trump's hush money trial. The testimony of Michael Cohen will be subject to intense attack by his attorneys. Prosecutors will recap corroborating evidence that Trump phonied up business records to cover up payments to Stormy Daniels. Adam Schlehet, Fordham University Law.
They don't need to prove the underlying crime. They just need to prove that when they were falsifying the business records, they were doing that in order to, with the intent to cover up that other crime.
Jury deliberations to start on Wednesday. At least 22 people killed in severe weather, including tornadoes in the central and southern U.S., power outages in excess of 260,000 across multiple states. North Korean state media says officials blame a newly developed engine for Tuesday's explosion after launch of a rocket carrying Pyongyang's second spy satellite. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service is in Rock County to survey severe weather damage from Sunday. The damage is to large trees, which could have been done by tornadoes. The Weather Service investigation will focus on Janesville and Milton. Tornadoes may have also touched down in Whitewater and Fort Atkinson Sunday. A lot of people are on their way home from the busiest Memorial Day weekend for travel since the pandemic. 3.5 million Americans flew somewhere.
Last year, the cancellation rate was at a 10-year low. This year, so far, it's actually even better than last year, but we want to make sure that it stays that way. We're pressing the airlines to do their part.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. This is Civic Media News.
Return of Craig Counsell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell holds the Brewers club record for most career wins as a manager, but when he returned to AmFam Field wearing a Cubs uniform, he got nothing but boos. Counsell asked if he watched the brief tribute video in his honor on the scoreboard.
I didn't see much of the video. I don't know. It wasn't on very long. Yeah, I mean, it's like I said before the game. I mean, I think, you know, the fans are here to enjoy a day, enjoy a baseball game. They get to do what they want, and hopefully they had a good time.
The Cubs losing 5-1 to the Brewers, thanks to a clutch 3-run homer by Willie Adames in the eighth, and Robert Gasser pitching another beauty, 6 scoreless innings. The two teams play again tonight. The Brewers now with a 4.5 game lead over Chicago in the NL Central.
You know, guys, it's a third of the season, so we got a long way to go. This is a nice win, and, you know, we got a long way to go.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a chance of scattered showers or thundershowers through about mid-afternoon, and then it'll become partly cloudy with a high of 64. Today, the wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 40. Tomorrow, sunshine 67. On Thursday, sunny and even warmer with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
With Pam Yonke.
Welcome back. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on a Tuesday morning. I'm afraid it's a Tuesday that's going to bring more rain for a lot of folks across the state of Wisconsin. I don't know about you. I'm about done with it. Still have corn to plant. Actually, probably now going to be soybeans in far northeastern Wisconsin. How about you? Give me an update. What's happening in your backyard? The way that you communicate directly with us, our talk text line, that's 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. Don't forget, John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is on the way as well. If you've got a question for John, go ahead and use that talk text line. We'll share it with him. This morning marks the 28th day of May. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 1937, Volkswagen is founded. Yep, automobile manufacturer whose name means people's car in German, is one of the world's biggest and also one of the classics. You still see the VW Beetle around today. Started on this day back in 1937. On this day in 1961, Amnesty International is founded. The publication of Peter Benson's article, The Forgotten Prisoners, is considered the organization's birth hour. Amnesty International, one of the world's most influential human rights organizations, started on this day in 1961. Let's see, not so many happy birthdays, but markers as far as people we've lost. On this day, back in 1998, we lost actor, comedian Phil Hartman. And on this day in 2014, we lost American poet Maya Angelou. And now you know. I imagine many of you were like me. You were involved in graduations over the Memorial Weekend. It's not just limited to high school or college. Our Wisconsin Master Cheesemakers class of 2024 just graduated as well. Charity Seebecker caught up with some of the program leaders to find out how revered this program is, not just in Wisconsin.
For one cheesemaker, simply having his cheesemaking license as well as cheese grating and even milk hauling licenses just wasn't enough to satisfy him. He wanted to take that next step to challenge him by becoming a master cheesemaker. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Brian Jackson, master cheesemaker at Nasonville Dairy, has done just that. Not once, not twice, but now 10 times, making him the second most decorated cheesemaker in the program. He tells me a little bit more about his journey.
You got to be making at least that specific type of cheese for at least 5 years, have your cheesemaker's license for at least 10 years, and then apply for your apprenticeship program, get approved by the board, go through a series of samples, on-the-job training, final testing. Was it easier the last time than it was the first time? Yes, I knew what I was expecting. Probably if I would have known what I was getting myself into, I may not have even started it. I mean, it's a lifelong commitment. It's not an easy process. It's not something for everyone.
Were there certain challenges maybe or troubles that you faced during that journey to get those Master Cheesemaker certifications that you maybe really had to overcome or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. There's so many people out there that want to help you get through it. You know, it's kind of surprising in how many people are out there willing to help you. Where you can go to get answers, it's something new all the time.
So what specific types of cheese did you focus on during this certification process this time?
This time I went for cheese curds and Cueza Blanco.
And why those?
Because I didn't have them yet. we're making them every day at Nasonville. And it was just two more that I didn't have.
So can you take me through the list then of what all you are certified in?
Okay. Cheddar, Colby, Monterey Jack, Gouda, Brick, Asiago, Feta, Queso, cheese curds, and there's one more.
That's hard to remember when you've got quite a list, but that's a good accomplishment to have. How do you think your certification will impact your role at Naysonville Dairy and the cheeses that you guys produce there?
I don't know if it impacts my role or not. It gives you something to be proud of, gives the plant something to grow up, be proud of. You can sometimes be a go-to person. It's a good resource to have, having a master cheesemaker on staff. And right now we have five of them there.
Can you give some insight into maybe the day-to-day life of a master cheesemaker? What does a typical day look like for you when it comes to that cheese production process?
Oh, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and not knowing when you're coming home. You never know what hours you're going to be called in. But, yeah, you go in there, start your pasteurizer up, get the ingredients ready, talk to your people, make sure everybody's there doing what they're supposed to do, quality, production, safety. It's never the same every day.
So what do you think then sets Wisconsin's cheese industry apart from others? I feel like in Wisconsin, we're very biased because we know how good of cheese we make. We're America's Dairyland for a reason. But how does that maybe influence your approach to cheese making?
Well, no matter where you go in the States or in the world, everybody knows Wisconsin. And, you know, you can hear these rumors that California's number one and Wisconsin's number one, but Wisconsin's always number one. It doesn't matter where you go. If you're from Wisconsin, they associate with cheese. I've traveled around the States. I've been in Michigan, Vermont, Kentucky, Florida, and made cheese in most of them. And everybody associates. If you're from Wisconsin, you know what you're doing when it comes to making cheese. We're number one. There's no denying that.
So in your opinion, then, what are some of the most important skills or qualities that a cheesemaker should have to really excel in the industry?
Be willing to learn. You got to be able to know that you're going to be maybe going to work at midnight or working holidays. It's like a farmer. It's a seven-day-a-week job. You just never know when you're going to have to get up and, you know, troubleshoot something, start over, learn from somebody new.
What are some of your proudest achievements or most memorable moments throughout your career as a cheesemaker?
Every time you get another license or certification, it's an achievement to be proud of. I'm guessing that's probably one of the main reasons why I went to 10. It's like you never stop. You always keep trying to improve.
And then lastly, as a master cheesemaker, what advice would you give to aspiring cheesemakers who might be considering entering the field?
Go for it. Don't hold back. It's something you'll never regret. Don't let anybody scare you off, or don't let the curriculum scare you. If you need any advice, give me a call.
That was Brian Jackson, master cheesemaker at Naysonville Dairy, along with us. What started as a part-time job at a cheese plant to earn money for a car for him has now evolved into an almost 46-year career. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Yeah, I'm guessing he probably still doesn't have the car he was hoping to buy, but he's got that job. Thanks, Charity. Cool story. Up next, Wisconsin 4-H recognizes 10 of its leaders, supporters, and staff. That's just around the corner.
Our next episode with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association takes us to Ovens Peony Farm in Beaver Dam. Michelle Ovens Flowers will be front and center during the Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival. She says inviting people to the farm on June 7th through the 9th is a way to educate the public on a crop not widely grown in the U.S.
If you consider only 20% of the flowers that we're purchasing come from the United States, it's just like the farmer where people don't know that the cow is lactating to produce the milk. It's the same thing with the flowers. And we have such a strong heritage here in Wisconsin with this flower in particular. It's really important. When I'm harvesting, because I never take more than 50%, and you have over 1,600 plants and you only take 50% of those, it's so beautiful that you have to share it.
Learn more about this unique specialty crop with Michelle Oven and Oven's Peony Farm at gowiagtourism.com.
Our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is just around the corner. He actually shot me an email last night telling me that markets off the three-day weekend were very, very volatile. We'll find out what's going on with him when he joins us live in just a moment. The Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service is going to be looking for about 4,400 producers across the state of Wisconsin for a new agriculture survey they're conducting. It's considered one of the two most important pieces of information that they provide to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They're going to look at crop acreage and stock levels as of June 1st. The producers are going to be contacted by phone or by mail. They can also fill out their survey online at agcounts.usda.gov. Again, what they're going to ask you for is your planted and harvested acreage, including acreage for biotech crops and grain stocks. Just some information critically important to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Look for that survey. Well, markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are currently a little bit mixed. Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 30 points right now. December corn up a penny and a half at 489. November soybeans are up, actually down three now, 1216. July wheat, that's up 11 cents at 708. On Friday, going into the three-day weekend, saw the barrel cheese finish down a penny and three quarters, 198. 40-pound block cheese was up a half at 187. Double A butter stood still at 312 and a quarter per pound. The June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 16 at 1973. The July Class 3 milk closed 7 cents higher, 2006 a hundredweight.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
So what do we know? Our crop progress report doesn't come out until this afternoon, right, John? But sounds like the market's already anxious about what's going on.
Yeah, we're going to have to see how things kind of play out with the progress numbers this week. And, you know, we moved a big jump last week, up to 70% planted on corn. We're ahead on pace for beans. So realistically, the planting pace talk is probably kind of out of the market based on what the number we get this week is. Now, there's some key areas that are experiencing wetness, and a lot of people in some areas are seeing that wetness. But the northwestern section of Iowa, southwestern Minnesota, big key growing area. And I got a couple producers in that area to talk with, and they're getting pretty frustrated right now that they just can't get in the fields, and things are going to be at least another week away. And that was on Thursday or Friday when I chatted with them, and more rain came through this weekend. So those are some of the key things. Where is the areas that are seeing delays? If it's in the core states like that, that's production that's going to be lost. Now, USDA is coming up with their next report here in mid-June on the 12th of June. That's possibly a window we see some reduction in terms of yield. They did that back in 2019. They took 10 bushels of the acre off. Now, we had a really bad planting pace year that year, and we actually had about 19 million acres of prevent plant. So here we are. 1st of June's around the corner. Does that prevent plant chatter kick in? Does the insurance actually make it worth the value this year? So a lot of producers are going to be making some tough decisions on this last, you know, 15% or so of this crop in terms of getting it in the ground for both corn and soybeans.
Well, even the crop that's in the ground can't snorkel forever, John, with some of the volume of rain we've picked up.
Yeah, this is very true. You know, unfortunately, the market's mentality, you know, when you have a drought, the drought affects everything, but rain still makes grain. And those areas that are in the lowlands and the wet are obviously, I mean, I made some drives over the weekend and there's some fields that had some pretty big wet patches in them. You know, so we'll see how the market plays that out. We won't get that probably shaken out until the end of the year in September, you know, when we start getting harvest going, get those final yield estimates, final acre numbers, things of that nature. So it's going to be one of those summers where we're going to be either mad or are happy with the market based on the conditions that are out there that we're seeing right now. So it's going to be kind of a choppy year, I would say, overall, because of this wet start that we're having. And I talked about that section of Iowa and basically since 1893. This is the wettest that area has been in history in that northwestern part of Iowa and then that southwestern part of Minnesota.
Wow. Interesting statistic. John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on a Tuesday morning. Remember their website, totalfarmmarketing.com, or call them 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779. Another crop that's been keeping our attention, wheat. Now, granted, Wisconsin doesn't necessarily have a horse in that race, but it is interesting to see the dynamics and what's going on with wheat there, John.
Yeah, we had a very strong open last night, trading 20 cents higher on the market. That Russian weather continues to be a major focus right now, and the forecasts are staying hot and dry for the next couple of weeks. Does that wheat crop get under 80 million metric tons, which is a pretty big drop for the Russian wheat crop? And they set the global wheat price in terms of their trade. They're the world's largest exporter. We also saw over the weekend the Ag Ministry announced that they were going to raise their export tariff basically from 17,000 rubles per metric ton to 18,000. Not sure how big that is in terms of the dollar size, but again, just an indicator that prices are going up in that regard. And that's coming over and spilling in, obviously, into our wheat market as we're starting to get ready to harvest here, the hard red winter wheat belt. But that, again, ties in the corn because of its similar uses. And, you know, so we're going to start hearing the chatter. If wheat gets expensive, we'll feed more corn.
Yeah. Exactly. Let's talk a little bit more about what's going on in the marketplace. Friday, we've got our cattle on feed report. Anything in particular that we're monitoring or keeping an eye on?
Well, cattle on feed numbers came in. Again, they just basically reconfirmed everything that we know, that we've got a very small herd out there in terms of supplies. Placements were back down again, another 6% year over year. That's just going to keep this cattle market extremely supported. It's still going to be volatile. I'm a little worried about the consumer in the longer run here, but right now it looks like the cattle market could get some money flow again and go back and challenge some newer price levels that we haven't seen for a few months.
Who wants to invest in cattle? I mean, when we get this lofty, John, are there still takers that are willing to come in because they're betting it'll go higher?
That's some of the flow right now. We're trying to watch. The funds have been sitting on the sidelines in the cattle market. Could this be that trigger that we broke through some key technical levels this last week that maybe helps push this market higher? But again, does the consumer stay active with the price of beef compared to other meat products?
What other reports are you looking forward to or watching, John? Anything in particular that we don't? I always know planting progress report or crop progress. What other ones are you watching for?
The biggest one for me, other than the crop progress points, is the export sales numbers, and that we see on Thursdays. This week will be on Friday. Beans right now have had a nice rally, but we can't move our beans as well as our new crop corn, and those are going to be things that are going to affect the prices long term. Again, that global competition is still something everybody needs to keep an eye on. We may be struggling here, but there's plenty of supplies in other places for the world to buy.
Right. John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live this morning with the latest updates on what the market's chattering about this morning. TotalFarmMarketing.com. Call 800-334-9779. John, you want to give them your email address?
That's John H. at TotalFarmMarketing.com.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing, joining us live, as always, on a Tuesday morning to let you know what's going on in the marketplace. More food news anytime you need it, day or night. Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, Midwest Farm Report on Facebook, or why don't you pop on over to MidwestFarmReport.com. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning, everybody. Have a great day.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Free mental health therapy today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Farm families probably get more than their fair share of trauma on a day-to-day basis. Monica McConkey sees it in her work as a rural mental health counselor.
The most helpful things we can do in overcoming trauma is developing connectedness. And that is building those meaningful relationships. It's seeing a therapist. It's being in a group. It's connecting with good, solid social supports. And in many areas of life, connection is key to reducing physical health issues, mental health issues, stress reduction. Connection with other people is hugely important.
McConkey says self-care is also helpful in dealing with traumatic stress.
At the base of that is taking care of ourselves with a healthy diet, moving our body, getting sleep. So really just foundational things that can help regulate our emotions and help us calm, even in the midst of being triggered.
Learn more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey. One of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear. Smokey.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel calling an overnight airstrike a tragic mistake. It took out two Hamas leaders, but also set fire to a Palestinian refugee camp in Rafah, leaving more than